Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Titan Company Limited Q3 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note, any recording or reproduction of this call is strictly prohibited. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar Bhatt, MD of Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhatt.
Thank you, and welcome to this call. The first thing I want to announce, you must have already read the BSE upload that we've done, which is the board this morning unanimously decided to select Mr. C.K. Venkataraman to succeed the current managing director, which is myself, from the 1st of October 2019, with the board and the top management sitting here, which is Subbu, Ajoy, Ravi, Ronnie, and myself, and Raj will join us. Congratulate Venkat and welcome him to take on the reins of this company from 1st October. The quarter has been a good quarter by all means. You've seen the numbers. The growth, both at retail and primary, has been from satisfactory to very good across businesses. While the numbers are all there up in front of you, the like-to-like growth for Tanishq, etc., the overall point I want to talk about is jewelry, which you saw a dip in Q1 and then a certain performance in Q2, has made up a large part of the lost sales during Q3 with an extremely good performance, very, very well-planned execution. Watches, there was a performance which led to an extraordinary high EBIT margin in Q1, Q2, in fact, the first 6 months, but a lot of the advertising spend was waiting for Q3. Continues to grow at retail at a very good pace, and the good news in watches is the news coming out of brand Titan, which is our most profitable brand. But even more than that is the scale that we are achieving. So you do see a dip in the margin for the quarter, but as we have already mentioned, always mentioned, the watch business, as much as jewelry business, needs to be looked over a 12-month period, and the margin improvement in that business is continuing thanks to the work that the division has done on costs, as well as realigning itself to the new reality of certain channels growing faster than certain others, investing in the new, and also squeezing more cost out of manufacturing or leveraging manufacturing as contract manufacturing for the Swiss. And of course, the strategy in eyewear, which is correcting prices and operating at lower price points without losing out on gross contribution, has worked extremely well. So almost the downward trend in growth rates at store level has reversed very, very significantly in that business, and we are seeing both same-store growth as well as total growth at very, very healthy levels. Plus, it has followed, of course, investments in brand building and, let's say, traffic building to the store. Apart from that, distribution and additional satellite lens labs or satellite lens manufacturing facilities have helped both improve customer service and profitability. The new businesses are also doing well for us. Skin crossed the 100 crore UCP mark recently. Taneira has got 4 stores, and even our businesses such as subsidiaries such as CaratLane and and Teal are doing well, but those won't come into the consideration as we talk today. So I really will go into the Q&A straight away. The one big provision that we've made during the quarter is our view of the ILFS 145 crores that that we had announced as doubtful in terms of recovery. Last quarter we had provided 29, and we are providing another 70 crores this quarter, and that we believe is the right thing to do. So total of 99 crores has been provided out of the total exposure of 145 crores. We are open for questions. Happy to answer you for the next 45 minutes.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attachment telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Avi Mehta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the great performance in the quarter. I just wanted to understand, given the strong growth in the jewelry business in third quarter, and you know, do you see any upside risk to what you indicated in the pre-quarter release on the expected growth in the jewelry business for the year? You had said that 22% is what we expect in the jewelry business for the year. I just wanted to kind of, you know, that kind of indicates. Just wanted to kind of understand, given
which would like to hold on that, Avi, because the January growth is a little lower than what we expected, but mm-hmm. we expect March to be much better than what we had planned, and our current sense is that Q4 should be between 20% and 22%, and therefore, since 9 months is also about 22%, I would still hold the year view at around what we spoke last time.
Okay, sir. Okay, the second bit, sir, on the watch margins, you know, you had highlighted that you would target a 15% to 16% for the year. Now, you know, given where 9 months is that also something that you would retain?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you recall, in the last quarter's investor call, we had stated that 18 is not sustainable, and it is because of postponement of, you know, many campaigns, because of postponement of launch of many new collections. And we had said that the quarter three, the margin would take a dip. So if you look at YTD, we are at 15.5% EBIT margin, and we hope to maintain or be somewhere around that by the end of the year.
Okay, perfect, sir. I'll come back in the queue for the other question. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats. My first question is, if I see your jewelry margins, in the last 6 quarters, you have hit 13% plus 3 times. Now, this is a function of discount, ad spend, and possibly the marriage days. I'm not highlighting studded because studded is quite weak this time, only 25%. So what is the science behind the discount and the ad spend? Normally, when the season is good, ad spend goes up. So could you take us through discount and ad spend? What is the logic and science? How do we as a analyst build this on a quarterly basis?
Actually, we had spent a high level in Q2, Abneesh. So in a way, it was also a little ahead of the season to build the interest in the brand. And because of that, we came low in Q3. So that is the background to the ad spend being at that level. The other thing is, you know, the world is actually significantly changing. The role of advertising generically is starting to alter. We are recognizing that. We are a 100% retail brand, so everything about us is on the stores through relationships. And therefore, depending on the kind of categories we are pushing, we can switch on and off basis a certain judgment we make on that. So it'll be very difficult to, you know, give a sort of continuing view on it. It's dynamic on the basis of what we perceive in the next 3 months kind of thing. And the same on the discounts also.
But sir, ad spend 1 quarter prior to season seems quite early. So it's more of competitive spends which matters, right?
No, we are getting into an operating issue here, Abneesh, honestly. I'm saying that spending in September for a season which begins in October is not illogical, right? So we're not talking about 5 months before the season we start spending. But it's an operating matter. I mean, we are, you know, this may not be such an issue for a discussion here, right? On when to spend, I mean, you could perhaps leave that to us.
Sir, one follow-up on jewelry business is 200 crore, which you have mentioned. Plain jewelry, so it will be lower margin. Will it be lower margin? And will this be recurring? And are you identifying which customer is this?
No, this is not recurring. It is low margin. We know the customer.
Okay. And the second question is, now e-commerce rules are changing. So this is on the watch business primarily. I understand e-commerce has been a big driver from a growth perspective for you. Now, because discounts, etc., cashbacks will be more difficult. Overall, for watch business, is this a negative?
We'll have to see how it shapes up. It may actually work in our favor. These big players will... it's about also, I think, for them to restructure themselves and see how to, you know, ensure that they don't buy from companies where they hold a stake. So it may be a disruption of sorts for a couple of months, but we expect them to kind of, you know, work their way around and see how to. So it's likely to continue as a good growing growth channel, and the contributions are now touching double digit from this channel. So it's an important channel. So they're there. I'm sure they're here to stay.
Oh, earlier Bhaskar sir has highlighted that snacking behavior has increased because of e-commerce, and watch is a discretionary item. So I was asking more from that perspective. So snacking reduces, won't it impact your business?
No, okay. I thought you were referring to...
Snacking we had referred to about 2 years back.
Yeah.
If I remember, that is changing quite rapidly. Yeah, go on, sorry.
No, go on. Completely different. I thought he was talking about the new e-commerce policy, which is... and how that's likely to impact.
No, see, the way we are looking at this whole mixed play, I mean, I can call it omni, but I think all possibilities are open on how the online, offline relationship is going to pan out. So, like all good Indian brands, we are not taking any bet. I think it is better to keep all your options open, whether it is World of Titan, Helios, large format stores, online, as well as, corporate business. All of them are playing out in different ways. So we will, and our positions in all of those are strong. Some are growing much faster than the other. So only time will tell. So we don't want to, you know, take a bet and say, okay, we'll open 100 Helios stores or close down X number of World of Titan stores. So online, yes, it is growing very rapidly, but it's a very, very different kind of customer. So it is a price-seeking customer, browsing customer, perhaps less loyal customer. But there is a certain role that, and I think a significant part of it is Fast Track and Sonata as well. Whereas Titan customers are more on the brick and mortar purchasers. So I don't think we want to take a call on one way or the other.
We want to keep
all our options open.
So one last follow-up on skin, so 100 crore, congrats on that. Now, you have pointed out international brands, there is a discounting. So is there any pricing pressure on skin, and how do you see growth coming? 100 crore is a very good size, but now size also becomes an issue. So how do you see the forward growth?
Skin is first of all, I'm Ajoy Chawla. I look after the new businesses and strategy support for Titan. So the question you asked was, is this pricing pressure on skin because of discounting on international brands? Well, no, there is no pricing pressure on skin. These international brands have been on discount in every end of season sale, and we also participate in these end of season sales accordingly. In fact, skin is very sweetly priced vis-a-vis international brands, and we have gained a tremendous market share as well as built up a leadership position. Though collectively we are still only about 7-8% of the overall market. So there are 60-70 brands in this category, and we built that leadership position. There is still enough headroom for market share gain.
In your channels, what will be the market share wherever you are present?
So our presence is spread between department stores like Shoppers, Lifestyle Central, other beauty and chain stores like Health and Glow, and even gifting stores like Archie's, etc. Then independent retailers in the beauty and cosmetic space, as well as in the World of Titan. So the World of Titan is the only store which is the EBO or our controlled store, which accounts for about 30%. The rest of the 70% is in typically multi-brand environment. And now we are also on e-commerce in a reasonably large way.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the question queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sinha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, on the jewelry margin, and if I look at the 9 months jewelry margin, you have expanded the margin by around 70 basis points. And particularly in this quarter, you have mentioned gross margin also one of the reasons for higher margin. I just wanted to understand the thought process and how much gross margin expansion on a sustainable basis can this business go to?
Actually, in quarter two, we had spoken about, gold inventory-led dilution of gross margin, which was expected to reverse in quarter three. So that was one reason for the gross margin expansion in quarter three. But our own, view has been, and I've said it both the annual conferences last 2 years, is that our emphasis is going to be on delivering the sales growth and market share expansion, but certainly, ensure that we maintain the EBIT margins. But what actually ends up happening is if we are able to get the leverage on sales, we do get an expansion on EBIT like you spoke of. And therefore, for this year, I expect the EBIT expansion to remain at this level for the year. And we'll speak about the next year when we speak about it.
Okay, so basically operating leverage is the primary reason for
yeah.
Okay. So secondly, on the store in the jewelry segment, again, the store additions, are you maintaining the full year guidance of 40 stores in Tanishq?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Yeah, and just a follow up there. I mean, how at the current current size of the stores which you are adding, and you have highlighted in the past that a big focus is adding in the new cities and new towns, maybe smaller towns. How long do these stores take to come to the mature level sales level?
Actually, within 2 years, we are seeing virtually all stores hitting levels of viability and return on capital for the franchisee to be quite satisfied. 2 years.
2 years. Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll come back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Soman from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening and thanks. First question is on the exchange scheme. So in the previous quarter, some of our checks suggested that that was a big contributor to growth, especially when combined with the wedding jewelry. Is that been a factor? That have you withdrawn the exchange scheme in January and has that led to a slower growth? Because you also have the activation in January, so I was just wondering why growth has been a little bit slower in January.
It has also been slower because some of the, we had a very attractive, we had the exchange scheme from the middle of November till late December, and that ended up pulling a fair number of high-value customers of diamond jewelry into December, because of which our activation performance in January is a little muted. So when you add December and January together, it's a healthy growth. And so that's the background to why January, and particularly started in January, is a little slower than original budget.
Understand, fair. And in terms of this exchange scheme, so is there a plan to just have it on through the year, or would this be a sort of a time-to-time promotion? And why not just have it through the year?
There is a psychological aspect to that, and, you know, so one is the cost aspect, the second is the psychological aspect. You know, keeping it on when we want it at short notice kind of gives, seems to give a greater impetus to customer interest and sales growth. So while what you're asking is certainly in consideration, we're not yet there yet.
Understand. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Firstly, on jewelry, can you just highlight what will be the, you know, the proportion of gold on lease, quantum of golden harvest, and any hedging gains in the quarter?
No, gold on lease will be very high this quarter. That's the reason you've seen the capital employed low, because practically all the gold we are buying is that, other than the exchange part, okay? All gold we're buying is on lease. So to that extent, gold on lease is high.
Okay.
And harvest, we are at a fairly high level in terms of the overall limit. So, but and within that, within the, for the year as well. So I don't believe there should be an issue with that. And the third is hedging gains. Hedging gains are not really abnormal this quarter. The big thing was the reversal of that inventory loss that we had last quarter. That was is one thing which boosted us. Otherwise, the hedging part has been in line with what it was in the previous quarter.
Which is that 18 crore number?
So 18 crore is the inventory gain. I mean, the loss that we had, the FIFO, what we call loss that we had last quarter, it reversed this quarter. So we got a gain of 18 crores, yes.
Right. And sorry, you are saying there is no hedging gain, right?
Hedging gain is there, but hedging gain is in line with every other quarter in the past. It's not been abnormal.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, sorry, I did not understand the comment on watches margin. So if YTD, if I look at it, 15%, is that, you know, how we should be thinking about on a full year basis?
That's right, 14-15%.
Okay. And lastly, if I may, Subbu, depreciation on quarter-on-quarter basis, why is that, you know, lower, and why is other income so high? Anything to call out?
Other income is largely high because of much higher cash balances.
Okay.
We had, we bought a lot of gold on lease, and so the cash balance has been quite high.
Okay, and depreciation sequentially?
Depreciation, like, there's no specific reason why.
Yeah, sorry?
Sequentially.
Yeah, we'll get back on this. Yeah, it's actually higher. Yeah, 33. I don't know what the question is.
Sequential. Quarter to quarter.
Quarter to quarter, there may be, yeah. It might have been some, yeah.
Last year, that's
a right. Yeah.
We'll get back.
We'll get back, Vivek.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilay Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on the console business. There is a marked reduction in the console list standalones, all those entities that come in the console business. You've given the breakup out there. Is this to be assumed now that they are on a sustainable path towards better profitability, especially CaratLane?
Yes.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Okay. There has been a significant reduction in the losses compared to last year, even though we'd have been a little happier with something more, but certainly it's on the path to, you know, break even.
Got that.
But importantly, and I think Teal, if you notice, Nilay has done very well. It's been doing extremely well.
Is this on the...
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Teal has been doing exceptionally well this year, and we expect that performance to continue for the next few years at least, yeah.
Okay. And coming to the jewelry business domestic, Venkat had highlighted a few aspects you're going to focus on at the start of the financial year. Market share gains in South India, wedding jewelry, high-value diamond, etc. Could you give us some sort of an update on what's happening very quickly on each of these heads and where you are, ahead of expectations, where you probably have got some more work to do, etc.?
Actually, market share gain was not in South India, but in some 16 or 17 cities where our market share is lower than the national average. A lot of work has been done on that over the last 2 years, and we continue to see gains happening in that. We are reasonably satisfied, and perhaps next year we will look at more marked kind of thrust in that. Wedding continues to lead our growth, except quarter three was a little... not that good, but it's not so much competitive as much as the number of dates in FY19, has been an issue. But FY20 looks very promising from the number of dates point of view. High value diamond jewelry has certainly continued to grow, right through the 9 months. So I would say by and large, we are very satisfied. Golden Harvest, of course, is the fourth one. So all the four levers and the gold exchange program being the fifth now, all five continue to pull the brand at the rate at which we need to grow.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, sir. And all the very best, Venkat.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just two questions from my end. Firstly, just looking at the sales growth, that you give retail sales growth on the eyewear side, which is, significantly lower than the primary growth that you've reported. So would this be more, led to pipeline filling, or just could you explain that difference?
Yeah, so actually the eyewear business consists of two streams of revenue. One is our distribution business, which includes sunglasses and frames, and the other is the retail business, which is our Titan Eye Plus stores. So so there is a difference, and in this quarter we had an activation for our distribution business. And that's why the primary numbers are much higher there than the retail numbers.
So one can expect that to reverse going forward, right? Q4, there will be a slight reversal on that side.
Slightly, yes. But we are on target to meet our overall goals for the year.
Got it. And my second question was on the jewelry side. So, if you could just help us with, what's been the, consumer, acceptance to the increase in gold prices, how it, going through December as well as January. And, you spoke about the fact that Jan has been a little weak because of the activation, part of the sale happening in December. But could you also help us with, would that also have been a factor on the gold price increase?
Venkat, I just stepped out. If you can just repeat your question, please.
Yeah, so my question was on the gold price increase. Just wanted to get a sense of, how the consumer acceptance has been to the higher gold prices towards the last 2-3 months. And would the Jan, impact also have been led by a slightly higher gold price with consumers staying, with some consumers staying away?
No, actually the gold jewelry business has done reasonably well in January. And it has done exceedingly well in quarter three in any case. And this is no longer, it's like a, they take it on their chest, wait for a while, if it stays at a similar rate, come in and buy. It's like that, yeah. There is nothing particular to note or comment on this. It's just that customers are used to, price fluctuations like this. And in a short period, you see an impact. They wait, and if it doesn't fall further, they come and buy.
So nothing really to call out from that standpoint?
No, nothing on that.
Yeah. Okay, that's it from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Krishnan Sambamurthy from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, last year you had called out that out of the 25% growth in the jewelry segment, about 16% was same-store sales growth. This year, it appears to be a higher number at close to 80%. So is this the new normal and what are the factors which are driving this?
What is 18%?
No, he's saying 80% of the total growth is the same-store growth. 18. Normally it's about 75-80%. Yeah, that's the point you make.
That
percentage. 27-34. Oh, that's what he's saying.
No,
yeah.
It may be a... Because what is happening is we are getting some... Then expansion is is going on at a rapid rate. You're also increasing the base of the same stores. So yep. To that extent, you know, like this year, for example, we will set up 40 stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so okay. Their impact next year will, in a way, come in and explain this.
It should be closer to about 75-80% same store sales growth contribution.
Around that, but see, every quarter, you know, it may not play out like that because these are market-specific differences that happen in a particular quarter. But by and large, yes.
Okay. And at the beginning of the year, you also called out that a significant part of your, I think you mentioned 50-60% of your walk-ins are first-time customers in most of your stores. Is that a trend that continues?
In the ballpark, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratim Roy from Stewart & McIntosh. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations with the good set of numbers, sir. I have just two questions. One is, what is the percentage contribution from your exchange business and what is the percentage contribution from the wedding collection segment? Because, you know, you have emphasized in last quarter that you have introduced lots of new collections in the wedding segment. So if you can give the contribution number in quarter, this quarter as compared to the last year same quarter number, percentage contribution on it, sir.
I don't remember offhand to give you that second part. The exchange is about 40%. Exchange contribution between Tanishq exchange and other jewelry exchange together is about 40%.
And the other part and the for wedding collection segments, are any ballpark number?
It's around 32-33, but this Q3 FY19 versus Q3 FY18, I'm not recollecting to tell you, which is what you wanted to know.
Okay, sir. And one more thing is that, sir, what is the... this recent price hike in the gold and all, so how you feel that it will impact your business? Is it in the fluctuation that you have answered the question that the customer are very used to this fluctuation, but is this anyhow indicating a grammage fall because, you know, everyone has certain budget for their purchase, so is it impact their grammage?
It may, but since we are not really in the business of selling tons, we are in the business of selling rupees, so it works out for us. So 1 lakh may get that customer, you know, 30 grams as opposed to 34 grams, but we get the 1 lakh.
Okay, means value term it will intact, but in the grammage term it will go down.
But we are not purchasing grams, we're chasing customers in a way. So we look at the number of customers rather than the number of grams.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, anyone who would like to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Avi Mehta from IIFL. Please go ahead. Avi Mehta, your line is unmuted for questions. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just small question. If you could kind of share the... tax rate guidance for the year?
Tax rate guidance.
We would be in the ballpark of around 29%, and that's largely because of the provision for the ILFS. We've not taken a tax break. We are still checking out on the legal aspects of that, but as of now, I would go with the 29%.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's all from my end. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on a fine, great performance. And congratulations to Venkat on being appointed the MD. But you need to think of a title without Bhaskar. Anyway, Venkat, what I want to ask you is that what is the effect of the increase in gold prices does that lead to more sales and does it lead to better profitability?
See, making charges are on the price. So to that extent, if the rate increases, with the grams falling, you do realize, per gram, more money. On the demand side, like somebody was saying that, people may end up settling a little bit down in terms of the number of grams that they buy because the budgets are more or less fixed. But we have seen an overall increase of close to 20% in grams for the year, for the 9 months, because we are also seeing a lot of migration, market share migration from other brands and market share gains happening. So to that extent, while the industry may behave in a particular way, for us, it's not reflecting in the same manner.
Also, the increased intensity of wedding purchase, which is also plain gold, no?
Yeah.
And therefore, its share in the pie also increasing has helped in that.
Yeah. And the exchange program, which sort of capitalizes on that. Yeah.
So, but one is a fluctuation of gold prices within a range. But I am personally anticipating gold may make a very big move. The way it is moving and the way other currencies are moving. Mm. And remember last time between 2009 and 2013-14, there was a big move in gold. We had a big, big growth in sales.
Yes, yes, yes.
So somewhere that could happen, I feel.
That's correct. So, Rakesh, the divisions move into exchange, making exchange really attractive. So what is the problem of price is really if you don't have sufficient cash, then you have to buy less gold. But if the exchange program is attractive, then you are losing whatever only the making charge of the previous purchase. We bought only bangles or plain gold necklaces and so on. So it will still play out, It will help. We can, it goes to 40% sometimes, no? In the exchange scheme.
Yeah.
So during that time when we saw the growth, we didn't have such an attractive exchange policy.
Yeah.
Right. My second question was, why write off 29 and why not write off the whole bloody thing in one time and finish about it? Why 70 and why not 100 and why not 60?
You have information which is better than ours.
So there's no question. See, you're making up. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So you're making a provision, make the entire thing here. Why, debt by one drop, debt by one shot here?
No, but that's a view. But Rakesh, we have to make a considered provision. So we have considered.
The provision does not require you. Suppose you provide, it does not inhibit your recovery in any way.
No, it doesn't.
Not
1 rupee.
Rakesh, it doesn't. But I think the issue here is that we cannot provide knowingly more than what we believe is right. Now, the question here is there is not adequate information, but based on whatever intelligence we have, okay, and obviously in discussion with the auditors and what other companies are doing, we made an estimate here. And if again you're right, if we believe in we get more information in March and more provision is required, warranted, we will do it. But as of now, I think this is our considered view, as of now. That's it.
Fair enough. Thank you. Congrats again on an unbelievable performance.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question. Can you share your thoughts on laboratory-made diamonds and how you see it impacting the shredded jewelry business in the medium term? And would you also look to sell laboratory-made diamonds? And are the customers getting concerned about, or are they asking about these? That's it.
Yeah. There is no, conversation happening, Kunal, today in the stores or anywhere else about lab-made diamonds in any perceptible manner. So it's not a real issue today. But for the last 1 year or more, we had already put in processes to make sure no lab diamond comes into our consumption. And we are investing in more and more technologies to make sure that we provide a reassurance to customers on that front, even if they are not thinking about it. That's point number one. Point number two, the penetration of natural diamonds in India is very, very low. Globally, natural diamonds have always shown a tendency to rise in desire as the affluence of each society happens, and Indian society is becoming more and more affluent and seeking natural diamonds. Therefore, it will be some time before we think of introducing synthetics as a separate line.
Sure, sure, sure. But do you think DBS getting into synthetics will accelerate the trend towards lab mates, and are the prices coming down? I mean, like, if I'm not mistaken, they are about 50%, and if they become much cheaper, do you see this as becoming a concern in medium term?
From whatever, the consumer's own views on it, DBS, I met a very senior person of DBS last week on this. The reason why they have done is the American market is very, very different, very high penetration of naturals. A lot of young women already own and they're looking for something different and all that. But the situation in India, we are a growing, affluence growing society. We are a consuming society in its early stages of affluence. So it'll be a long while before that happens in India.
That's right.
Maybe a couple of decades.
And my personal view on this, I could be wrong. But if you look at other categories, I'm not about product categories, the desire for authenticity and the desire for value are two different things. And I should imagine, if you take completely extreme, it may not align with this at all, but if you look at paintings, there are prints and there are, just because printing came in doesn't mean the value of a painting goes away. People are still paying large sums of money for a painting. So this authenticity and, the naturalness of a diamond, I suspect that there is a large customer base which will want to invest and there is a value sitting there. The value-seeking customer will go for it. There will be a new segment that will come. There will be some intersection of the two segments. But in India, as Venkat said, there is still a long way to go.
Sure. That's very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Mehta from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening team. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. Congrats Venkat for a new role. So my question is on success in planning. So if we see next two and a half years, we have most of our top management retiring. So obviously we have found a CEO. Now what about the success in planning of other top management team?
Yeah, I'd like Raj, my colleague from HR, to join in. But just to start with this, the board has been engaged on this subject for the last 3 years. And with the board, the management has developed a very strong leadership development process, which has identified leaders at the next level who will succeed those who retire in the next 1.5 years. So there is a very strong plan in place. And maybe you can share, Raj.
Hi, this is Raj here. We've had this process on for the last 3 years, and we've had leadership programs at different levels, starting from young leaders to emerging leaders to senior management development to top management development. And people go through a whole process of assessment, discussion, individual development plans, their job rotations, immersions, and various things. And as part of the process, people are identified to take on different roles. And we have a very strong pool of successors and whom we can choose from. So we've worked through the entire domino and looked at, the impact at different levels, and we are confident that we had a very, very strong philosophy of growing our own timber, and this whole process kind of works to that. Yeah, but wherever we feel that there is a gap, we have not hesitated to look outside as well. It's a combination. Yeah.
Also, one move that we made 2012, I'm told, 6-7 years back, when we created the regional business heads who are now like profit center heads, it was one more move to create business savvy people in the company who manage 2,500, 3,000 crore regions and head them for all the businesses. So out of that process itself, we now have 7-8 people who have come out plus this process. So we have a strong second line of about 15 odd people, 17, I think, people. So rest assured, it's a very robust process with the board involved, and it will be wisely done.
Nice to hear that, sir. So one clarification. So even Venkat was due for retirement, late of 2020.
So that part, so the retirement age for an executive director is 65.
Okay. Okay.
So that gives you the
right. Sure. So my second question is, so we have called out that January has been a relatively muted month for us. So are we calling out on what exactly growth rate for that particular month was?
In the late teens, which is not muted, it is, 17-18% for January is not muted. It is less than the 29% retail growth that we had in Q3. So that is the perspective.
Sure. Thanks. Congrats once again for your performance and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from ITSC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had two follow-ups. So first question was really on the competitive environment in jewelry. So if you could just, just give your comments about, how the expansions are going for competition. Are you seeing a slowdown there, especially because of the lending environment being a bit, getting tighter? And is that a competitive advantage for you going forward, at least in the near term?
About a week back, there was a Business Standard story on, with interviews from some prominent people from the jewelry industry. And they had spoken about a substantial, decline over last year's same period in each one of their regions. And it confirmed what we understand from the ground every quarter, and particularly for quarter three about our competitors' performance all across the country. The expansion of other jewelers has not been that visible, whereas we are stepping on the gas and we are confident of crossing 40 stores in FY19, and we are, keeping that momentum going for the next few years. Certainly the pressure that has come on the industry post-GST, we can sense it, and renewed interest of potential franchisees in Tanishq is sort of in small towns is reconfirming the competitive advantage that we're continuing to gain.
Super, sir. Second question was on the tax rate. So you had mentioned this year, but if you adjust for the INFS impact, it's about 27-odd%. Would that be a representative number to look at for next year as well, or some of the fiscal incentives or something
next year we still have the fiscal incentive, but the year after it goes. So next year, yeah, you're right. It should be in that ballpark. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, got it. And in FY21, it will move up.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, that's it from me. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Red Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, yeah. Sorry, I forgot the question. It's a long time. I'm Giordino in Valley.
Sure, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Reliance AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to get your thoughts, let's say, on this making charges. Now with, I believe, it's been about 18 or 24 months, which, you've laid out a plan and you've done really well, exceeding expectations. What's your thought with the making charges? Do you want to, take it down or up, given you have penetration or, you are among the sole players who's expanding? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
What we do, Manish, is that every 6 months, we fan out to some 30 to 35 towns, and we have, jewelers with whom we benchmark our prices. So it's a continuous exercise. We wish to remain in a situation where consumers perceive our overall value to be, attractive enough, and therefore it's a dynamic, continuous, systematic process. So there is no, point that tomorrow we'll do something else. 6 months later we'll go and we'll do something basis our assessment at that time.
And would your making charges be differential or it just the range which you which differs, let's say by city or by you know, by tier of the city?
It is primarily different on the basis of the complexity of the product.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Just one question on Taneira. I mean, could you just elaborate what has been the experience so far? And I thought, I mean, I think you would launch some bridal wear, etc. as well. So is it going on the lines of mohe, etc.? You are trying to do the Indian traditional ethnic wear also in that format?
So, two questions that I understood. Hi, this is Ajoy Chavla again.
Yeah.
I look after the new businesses. So on Taneira, I understood two questions. One is, how has the response been overall? And secondly, on the bridal side, what is our thoughts? So on the first piece, the response continues to be very good. We had piloted Taneira in Bangalore, two stores, and had done several exhibitions and pop-ups across different cities, which gave us the confidence to launch it as a business. We now have two more stores in Delhi, and the response in the last few months from Delhi has been as encouraging and as positive as we saw it in Bangalore. So it's kind of staying the course as we see it. With regard to bridal, for a business like ours, in which we are really anchored in the sari category, but we are in a way addressing the Indian woman's special occasion dress wear needs, bridal is an important destination anchor category for this entire need state. We are still early days in bridal. We have got a certain offering of bridal products in saris, and we are right now in the process of incubating the lehenga and lehenga choli kind of dress format this year. Once we put out a significant product mix in the market, we will know better whether we are suited to do this or we should kind of pivot or do something else. But it's an important element in cracking the bridal recipe, especially for markets like North and West. In the South, the markets continue to be heavily sari dominated. So whether we will go like mohe or others, I can't say right now. They are positioned differently. We are certainly pitched a little higher than those brands.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, a few follow-up questions on Montblanc and Pavel Uber. Yes, you are launching new products, opening new stores. But from a viability perspective, is this on track? Why I'm asking this, obviously these were sold because these were not doing well earlier. So where is it on viability and profitability metrics?
Sorry, what was sold? Oh, you mean the Pavel Uber brand. Montblanc is not like. Montblanc is a JV. So, I'll tell you, the JV not doing well was also in a way because of the, there was a transition and we didn't have enough number of stores. In fact, in the quarter now, the numbers are looking, the growth and the same store growth, etc.
I think he's talking about the previous people running Montblanc.
Yes.
Yeah,
earlier
Versus Titan.
The earlier distributor.
It's the earlier distributor.
That was not a JV. Earlier, before we came on the picture, the person doing it was a distributor. Okay. And since they were not able to invest adequately in the business, this JV came about. Okay. So we've just started it. And today we are about 12 stores or so. And this hopefully should ramp up over a period of time.
If you were to take that last minus 35, if that is your where the question is, because Carrot Lane is visible to you, there's a minus 35. A large part of it is, yes, Pavel Uber, which has a long way to go yet. And its destiny really in India is still not played out. It's in very few stores. So you will see Pavel Uber considerably improve performance in the next 1 year. It has incurred significant losses, and we had even impaired last year 75 crores. But there is value sitting in that brand still. But if you remember, it was an almost defunct brand which we bought several years back at a very low price. The idea is to leverage it fundamentally in India and Asian markets and not have some global vision for it where hundreds of crores we will lose. So that is the story of Favreluba.
When are you targeting profitability in these two businesses? Any 3-year time frame or 5-year or even longer?
As far as the Mobla JV is concerned, within 3 years we will see profitability. In fact, the current quarter itself has seen profit. We are not expanding the network quite in any aggressive way. But Favreluba, it is still some time. It may take 3 to 5 years.
The last question, Carrot Lane, 43% growth, so you added also 14 stores. So how much has the online business, which is the initial business, how much has been the growth there?
But in Q3, it's about 13%, Avnish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question on your low ticket format, Mia. What is the contribution of this brand today and what kind of store additions you see for this? How is the performance for this one?
The contribution is quite small, Latika, but our dream for Mia is pretty large. And in the last 1 year, we have really got a big traction going on the expansion of the Mia stores, because Mia's destiny is actually in the Mia store and less in the Tanishq store, where also it does reasonably well. And we expect, I think if I remember right, we expect, I mean, I think we've added some 10, 12 stores this year, and we expect to increase this momentum in FY20.
All right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you all for participating. Yes, it's been a good quarter and we hope to continue this performance through to the next quarter and the next year as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.